everybody. It's your girl, Sister Goose, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, my mother,
Sugar Mama,
and we are
Black Girls Inc.
And today, you already know what I'm going to say, Mom.
She's excited.
I wish I had some smooth jazz, as I said I was going to jazz
it up.
She was. Because of who was coming on, because this is another part of history for Black Girls Inc. As you all know, it's our first ever Men's Week.
Yes.
And today,
yes,
we have a man who wrote in the category of romance.
Yes.
He's our first male romance author we ever had.
You.
So please help us welcome Rajiv, aka the King of Romance.
All right.
Snapping at the disc, Mom. Hey!
All right.
How's everybody doing? I'm glad to be here.
Good, I'm so glad.
Look, I'm so glad to have you here. Okay? I have to be honest with you. Me and my mom are suckers when it comes to romance.
Hold on, you can't even put my card out there like that, does it? Don't put my card out there like that. Well, I'm talking about shows, Mom.
Dang.
Yeah,
like
right.
Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
You're right.
See?
You still could have put her card out there. You put a test money, you'll put the card out there.
So anyway, I'm sorry, my mom caught me off guard with that.
I know.
Can you tell everyone the title of your book and what it's about?
So, the name of my book is, Coma, and, Coma is what we call a paranormal romance, which, I had the idea. So, Coma is about a couple that they met in college, and they had the, you know, we all had this dream of we're going to have kids, we're going to have a beautiful house, we're going to have a great career, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, Coma is about just that. And what happened was, coming out of college, this couple didn't, their lives didn't pan out the way they thought it would pan out
okay.
within the first 5 years. So what happened is, and without giving the book away, so that your book's on the way, so you get to read it. But so what happened is, the husband, he got into a car accident, and he goes into a coma.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this coma, he actually wakes up into what I like to call a parallel dimension. So he wakes up, and the life that he wakes up in, he's actually everything that he wanted to be before he went to the coma. I mean, he's a top investment banker. He has a beautiful penthouse in Manhattan, New York. He's exotic car. He's a bachelor. He's probably one of the most eligible bachelors in New York. This guy is, I mean, he is the man. You know, but what happens is he falls in love in a parallel dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So the book, and like I said, without telling you the book, what the book is pretty much a struggle for his wife, you know, who doesn't want to let him go, but then his newfound love in his new dimension where he, he doesn't remember his old life.
Yes.
So it's not like he's cheating. It's not like he's, right, you know, trying to be mischievous, you know, but he falls in love. So now, and I'll leave you with this. He falls in love, and now the whole tragedy is, will his wife let him go? Will she pull the plug because he's been in the coma for a while? Or, you know, will she hang on and he loses his love and his former, I mean, his afterlife, per se. So, yeah, so that's where we're at with coma.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this
romance is deep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this deep. And I love how he made it clear.
He didn't cheat.
The sisters wouldn't be all like, "Well, what's that all?" He said he didn't cheat. He don't even got no
real.
Right.
So let's make that clear. Okay.
He got to clear it up. Yeah, he didn't cheat.
That's a brownie point.
Yeah. So how did you come up with this story? Like, what made you write this story? How did it come to you?
So, I was in college, I wrote a short story. And it was just kind of a beginning of a fifth story. It was for a class I was taking, a literature class. And my professor said, she liked it. She emailed me and said, "Hey, this is a really good story. Maybe you should elaborate and, you know, go first." So, you know, I had ideas throughout the years or whatever, and So I just kind of, you know, my mind runs, and I guess I can say I have a creative mind, so my mind does things that I can't compete with. So I came up with this idea. I said, well, hey, well, romance is one thing, but let's take it to another level. Let's take it to the next step. We're going to do a love triangle in parallel dimensions, you know? And that's pretty much what it is. And the cool thing about it is nobody in the love triangle knows each other. Mm. You know? So, and that's what I liked about it. It's like, when he was in the coma, he doesn't know his wife. But when he was with his wife, he doesn't know, you know, his, you know, new love. Mm. And vice versa. The women don't know each other, and it's not like a bad love triangle. So anyway, so like I said, the idea I had in the child was kind of allowed me to elaborate and create this story.
I love that, and I already told you, and I'm going to say it again, because he said, Tyler Perry and Oprah, we hope you listening.
Yes.
This needs to be a movie.
But he came on here for the
Zuck. Yeah, but so, this needs to be a movie. That's what I really like about your book. If somebody told me about it, I wouldn't have thought it was a book. I really would have thought it was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sounds like...
And you know what? And that's where I was going with it. You know, I kind of, when I wrote the book, you know, in my mind, as I was writing, I'm like, man, you know, this, you know, I played the movie in my head,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the good thing about it is that, you know, along with me writing the book, it came easy. I never got writer's block, I never got, you know, I never got stumped, it just kind of came natural, it came easy, so, like I said, it did play as a movie in my head, and yeah, like, hey, Oprah, Tyler Perry, Spike Lee, whoever's listening.
Right. Don't play Russell Simmons.
Russell Simmons. Anybody that's listening right now, hey, this book is your next flopper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hardy. Because what I call books like that until it makes it to the big screen, I call them mind movies because you make us see the characters in our mind. We feel like we're there.
Yeah.
You're bringing the story to life.
I like that phrase.
Read it. So I call them mad movies until it end up on the screen. You know what I'm saying?
I like that phrase, yeah, definitely.
So for now, y'all, it's a mad movie, but yeah. Just give it time, because I do believe it will be on picture.
Now, you know what? She means the man in your head, not the man's of my own.
You know what?
I'm explaining.
I need your sister to do something. Sugar mama to speak that into existence for me. Yeah, we definitely need to speak that into
existence.
Well, let's not, because we know it's going to happen. Now, I had the biggest question that everyone even asked me as I told them I was going to be interviewing you. And the first question my mom asked too is, what made a man write a romance book? Like, how did you fall into that category?
To be honest with you, I have a daughter, 18-year-old daughter, and I say this a lot in the last 10 years of my life. I've matured as a man, so to say, and we as men at some point have to mature, you know, and I mean, what I mean by that is her relationship, you know. I've traveled the world, I've been, you know, many places, and, you know, I haven't always been, you know, the ideal boyfriend or ideal husband. And, you know, in our last 10, 15 years, I had to grow up, you know, and, you know, I truly believe chivalry is not dead. And it's funny I say that because my best friend, he has a clothing line called Chivalry. And his whole motto is not, you know, just a brand, it's a lifestyle. And we truly believe that, you know, and it's one of those things to where, you know, romance has always come easy. I mean, I can remember being in fifth grade, and I made my so-called girlfriend at the time dinner, you know, at my mom's house, you know, and my dad was a sommelier. He was a butler. He was a waiter and everything for me, you know, but I always had that, you know, that romantic bonus, if you call it that. And so now I kind of want to touch on it. And bring it to the world, and kind of, mm-hmm. you know, show who I am as a man. Pretty much.
That's good.
I love that.
There ain't that many out there, so you got the
feel. Because what I like about you writing romance, and I'm just saying for my generation, because I'm younger than y'all, I did say y'all, watch so don't it. Be getting mad.
Watch
mama.
It.
But my point is, people in my generation, the men, the boys, the men's, whatever you want to call them.
Children.
Okay, children. They have a hard time with being romantic because romance to them is showing a sensitive side.
You know, being a punk.
Yeah. Or being a punk, as we said. Yeah. But I was trying to keep a PG here.
Nah, okay, well, that's the
But
PG.
It was showing a sensitive, it's showing a sensitive side.
It is a four letter word, but
they don't
it's not
really
that
word. Want, yeah, they don't really want to get in touch with it. And that's why I love that we have you on the show because this is a manly man. Okay, y'all? Yeah. I do my homework. All right. I research.
Alright.
This is a bulky dude.
Alright.
Okay? He's bulky. He look like a regular man. He look like he could jack somebody up too. But I'm just saying. The point is, he can show his sensitive side and write in the book and everything because I'm sure he gotta get in touch with it to make the woman's part of the book and everything of it and the romance. And to show that it's okay.
Yeah, it is. It is. Trust me, it is.
So what do you say to young men like that? Now I was just gonna say, what do you say to young men like that who have a hard time with getting in touch with their sensitive side because they think it might be them being a punk?
Yeah, I say this. I feel like, you know, as like I said, a mature man, an older man, you know, if we watched, like back in the day, our fathers used to wear, you know, button up shirts and ties, and that was. You go out in a suit, that was every day attire.
Yes.
You know, and I think these days, you know, as I get older and the younger generation coming up, I think that they feel like everything has to be so hard. It has to be, you know, we're taught as young men that, especially as young African Americans or young minorities, that we got to be hard, you know, and the world sees African American men and even African American women as angry.
Yeah, you know, hostile.
And a lot of times, yeah, well, a lot of times we feel like we have something, we have to be hard, we have to be angry, we have to show this persona, and we don't. You know, my friends and I have like about 5 or 6 other male friends that are probably just as big as me, but it's bigger, you know, but they have sensitive sides. You know, we talk about as black men, we want to show, you know, our feelings, because at some point in time, if you're not showing your feelings will get bottled up. You know, and your feelings get bottled up. Your feelings get bottled up, and then at some point in time, you act out.
Right.
You know, and with the younger generation, especially, you know, I would say the young millennials or the older generation, actually coming up. But I think that as you know, with the music and the culture and everything, they have to display themselves as being thugged out. You know, I'm thugged out by a lot of people, little bad boys, so. These young men, if certain, you know, whether, no matter where they're from, if they're from the streets or if they're from the suburbs, they got to portray themselves as being bad boys. It's time to get these girls,
right?
You know,
right.
And that's not what, you know, that's not reality. You know, it's like you can. It's all play slate pretty much. You know, what I'm saying, you're not gonna get a job, you're not gonna get a career. You know, I think the difference between a job and a career. So you're not gonna have a career. You know, walking into somebody's office with your pants sagging and trying to be thugged out.
Exactly.
You know, and you can't, you know, you don't always have to be mad. You know, just be happy. I enjoy being happy.
Yeah.
You know, and like we spoke before, you know, like I was in the army, you know, I've been to war zones, you know, I've been through all kinds of stuff that would make me hard. But, you know, I will tell you this, the hardest thing I've ever done was raise a teenage son.
Hmm.
You know? And because my journey was to make him, was to create a man that was, you know, a part of society that could give back. And I'm very proud of my son. My son is, you know, he's doing good things in life. And, you know, I kind of, you know, he always changed me. But I'm like, man, you have become, you know, a man now. And you've become a good man. You know, so I think that, and I know I'm battling on, but I think that, like,
no, that's good.
You know, I just feel like as a man, you should be able to show your feelings, you know, to your woman, you know, to your kids. You know, I cry with my daughter. I can cry with my daughter's smile. You know what I'm saying? Because it's tears of joy, but just looking at her smile brings tears to my eyes. You know what I'm saying? But And I don't have to prove anybody I'm hard, I'm prove right. anybody I'm thug, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's not a problem, you know?
Yeah, can we snap for the Black Dad?
Yeah.
For the Black Dad.
Yeah.
Well, Black Dads do exist. And I say that a lot because people try to make it like they don't. Black Dads do exist.
It is.
Very involved. Okay?
Yeah.
And I love that you said that because I myself have a son that I'm raising to. He's 4 years old.
Yes.
And I try to help him because...
Five.
Well, oh, yeah, he's five now. Look at me. I'm a real mom. I forgot the age.
Five.
He's five.
Sugar mama Liz.
But I want him to be able to say his feelings because I notice in boys, when they don't say their feelings, as you said, they get bottled up and then they start to use their fist. And that's something I do not want for my son to do. So I try to teach him to tell his feelings without making him look like he's a punk because he's not. But it's okay to say your feelings. It's okay to say, you know, I don't want you to treat me that way. You hurt my feelings. It's okay to say that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make you less of a person.
And if it hurts, you can cry.
Yeah.
But it shows that a man is human too.
Right.
And if you want a real relationship, and I'm just speaking from my experience with my children's father now, me and him have a wonderful couple relationship. But if you really want a healthy, real relationship with your partner, you got to show the sensitive side. Because it's an intertwined, like, it's okay if you don't want to show other people, but you got to let your wall down with her. Okay?
Exactly.
Because that's going to make me love you more, to show me that you are human, to show me that you feel my pain when I feel you feel. Mm. And that does something to a woman. Yeah, I'm giving y'all some tips. Mm. Write it down. That does something to a woman, though, to show, because your emotions towards my emotions, it shows me you care. Okay?
And I do. And it also creates a chemistry. You know, I feel like if I'm feeling you and you feeling me, but I'm not, and if I'm too scared to show you that I'm feeling you, I'm interrupting the chemistry. You know what I'm saying? I'm interrupting what we should have that could be really strong.
Right.
You know, because I'm trying to be hard for my friends, blah, blah, blah. And I'm the type of guy that, like, you know, with my partner, I don't care if my boys around, the other guys around, I'm not gonna put them in front.
Right.
I don't need to put on air to try to impress my friends, because I choose friends that respect my situation. Mm-hmm. You know, I respect my friends' situation. Both of my friends are married, they got, you know, fiancés or whatever, and if they say, hey man, my wife said I got the time to eat, I got a roll, and we play an Xbox, and my wife said, I gotta go eat, I'm out LA. We respect it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the kind of people I bring in my circle, because they have that respect for their women. And we don't go out and act different when we're out. When we're out, we still involved with our women. They still married, still engaged, and we're not trying to holler at other women. Because that kind of crowd, that's kind of, you know, circle that we have. And we don't have to try to be hard and try to put them in the front light when our women are around. Because we all know that when the women are around, who wants that? So
yeah,
yeah.
See? And that's why he's the king of romance. Because that was real.
Go
right
on,
there.
Tell him. Go
that
on,
was
tell
real.
Him.
I hope you're taking notes.
Sorry, rewind and listen to it again.
Snap to that.
You might have gave me an idea for another book.
Yeah, right? Right. We snap into
rewind
that.
Rewind that and listen to it again.
Right, look, make that a book called My Love for Her Never Changed. Period.
Yeah, it's all about who you bring in your work. And that's very important.
And that's why we like helping people to get to know you as the Arthur.
Right, because you...
So now as they're hearing you and they're getting to know you, they're like, okay, so now I see why he can write a romance book.
Yeah.
Because some people, not all people, but some people feel like men can't write romance and stuff. But they can't.
I'm not sure why.
Yeah, they
can. There's still some of us out here. Yeah, there's still some men that have, you know, we're still looking for, I'm not looking anymore, but, you know, there's a lot of men that are looking for love. Mm-hmm. You know, and most females, and like in this day and age, I'm not saying most females, but in this day and age, the online dating scene is where everybody's trying to find love, which is not a problem, because that's where the world has gone to. But you still have to be a gentleman. You still have to, I mean, I still open doors to my woman. I pull out a chair, you know, I send her flowers, you know, it's still, you know, the things you do in the beginning, you have to do in the end.
Right.
You know, and I just kind of feel, you know, I kind of feel like a lot of men, once they get to that point where they got the woman, you know, say they're not people. That's, you know, say get the woman is one thing. You know, it's easy to get a, you know, get a woman or get a man, yeah. But keeping is the biggest thing, you know, and it's like, once you start taking for granted and be content with, you know, everyday life, you're like kind of forgetting what you did to get that person or what stimulates that person's mind, then that's an issue because you're not doing the things you did before.
Right.
And that person, you can't grow. If you're not watering that plant, you can't grow. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
It's like, I look at that as, like, you know, it's very important. You know, and I hope the men listen to this, but,
yeah.
You know, I did something last year on Valentine's Day. I kind of did a little, like a little blog or whatever about Valentine's Day. And I was telling guys that, you know, I don't care if you want to say you don't want something on Valentine's Day or not. Make reservations. Send flowers. Send candy. It's not for you. You know?
You better. What's up? You better.
You know?
Wait. Go both ways, ladies. And go both ways.
Yes, yes. I got that. I got that, too.
I just want to make
that
known.
Does anybody want to say it? Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I just want to make that known because I was digging what you're saying, but I was saying it go both ways, ladies.
Yes.
Don't think you just supposed to be winding down that day.
I mean, you
show
do
your
it,
appreciation
yeah,
too.
I got that. We got that.
I don't really do Valentine's Day, but I do love that my partner, because you know I don't do it, he tells me a meaningful something. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's his gift to me.
Yeah.
He let me know how much he loved me and everything. He take care of the kids all day. He makes sure we have extra time together or whatever. He might even take us to a hotel and we're just playing on Xbox chilling together.
Mm-hmm.
But he makes me feel special.
Tell everybody what you do for me for Valentine's Day.
Right. Okay, well, for my mom, I do at Valentine's Day because she loves Valentine's Day, so I get her something every year.
Oh, that's so
and
nice.
I give her stuff to count down to Valentine's Day. That's
yeah,
how spoiled she is.
Oh, hold up. Take that back a little bit. I started it.
You
I
did.
Gave. I didn't
you
have
did.
Nobody get nothing to for Valentine's Day, so I started giving them Valentine's.
That's true.
And I created this thing that we call I Love You gifts.
But wait.
So it's just a gift that you give somebody. You can't put nothing on it. You can't say nothing else. You give them the gift to say I love you.
So, want to get back on track, though. Let me get us back on track because, you know, we could talk about love all day.
We were talking about love.
What do you want people to get from your book after they read it? Like, what do you hope they walk away with?
That a man can be.
So, this book, you know, it's a story of kind of like redemption, a story of comeback. I'm big on comeback.
Okay.
You know, I kind of feel like if you hit rock bottom, if you lay there, and this is like, I do motivational stuff sometimes, but, you know, this is kind of one of my favorite, you know, quotes or favorite emotions or whatever, but if I kind of feel like with this book, you know, if they would have gave up, you know, got a divorce, she would have left him, she could have pulled a plug on him, all kind of stuff, you know, the ending would have been different, you know, and I kind of feel like when people don't try, like if you hit rock bottom, you know, and you lay there, that's where you're going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, you take a basketball, and you drop it to the ground. If it's flat, it's going to just lay there. But if you got some bounce, and you know what I'm saying, if you put some air in your chest, and you got a little bounce, you bounce that basketball, you're going to get back up. You know, and I kind of use it as my structure as, you know, like I said, with this book, the couple, they had dreams, you know, and they didn't give up on their dreams. And even when he was in a coma, she didn't give up. She kind of brought them together. Even though he was in a coma, you know, she built their life while he was in a coma.
Oh, wow.
You know, so when he came out of, the coma, their life was totally different. You know, I can't tell you, like, the books are on the way, but, like, when he came out of the coma, their life was different. You know?
See, now I really want to read the book.
Yeah,
you done said that. Now I'm like, I really got to read it.
It's on the way. So yeah, so what I want people to walk away with is like, you have to be able to, you know, continue to drive forward.
Yeah.
You know, your destiny is in front of you. And if you keep looking backwards or if you stop, you'll never reach your destiny. You get what I'm saying? So that's what the book, that's where I wanted to go with the book. I wanted people to get that, you know, to gain that, you know, that life is not over just because you hit a hiccup.
Okay. You know? That's a good line right
that's
there.
That's good. That is really good. So people who's in a relationship, read this book, because he said this is a book to show you never give up. Keep on fighting.
Exactly. Like you said, they say when you get married, it's a death to us for better or for worse. And, you know, that's the thing that, you know, a lot of times people forget. Mm-hmm. They hit a hiccup and they're like, you know what, I'm out of here. And that's why these days there's more divorces and more people separating, more people breaking up. My parents were married 50 years, you know, and I'm pretty sure as late as yesterday, they probably wanted to get divorced. But they just kept on 50 years, you know, and they don't do it, you know, they never gave up. You know, they might talk and smack to each other and everything else, but they love each other.
Yeah.
You know, I still see the way they still smile at each other. They, you know, my dad, he's a jokester, you know, and they still smile at each other. And my mom still tells him to get out of her face, but she still smiles, you know. And that's what 50 years do for you, I guess, you know?
Oh, wow. That's what's up. Snap for that. Yeah. Snap for that lovely couple. For real.
Yeah.
For still staying together. For real, man.
Yeah.
And I'm challenging couples because I always sometimes put challenges out there.
Mm-hmm.
And my challenge for you couples is get the Coma book together and do a, you know, a boo book club. Read it together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Experience it together. Because I think I'm going to do that with my book. I think I'm going to read it with my boo. We're going to read it together. Because
You see it differently.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good way to, you know, connect with your boo thing, too, is having a book club, especially with this pandemic. You can't always do stuff. So, why don't y'all, you know, get this Coma book and start a book club with just you and your boo? That could be y'all spending time together.
Yeah.
So, I challenge y'all to do that. Yeah, that's a challenge.
Sounds good.
Sister Goose and the King of Romance should set y'all a challenge. Mm-hmm. Let's see what you gonna do now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how did you feel when you got your first copy of your book? How did it feel?
Oh man, it was actually amazing. Cool thing about it is I keep mentioning my best friend. My best friend was over, really good friend of mine, like my little brother, and I went downstairs to my mail room about five times that day. Mm-hmm. And I kept following the Amazon truck on my app.
We know what that's like.
But I went down looking for it.
We know what that's like. We've done that a couple times.
So y'all done that too?
Yeah.
We chased the truck down a couple times too. I ain't gonna lie, we did.
Let them finish.
I kept going, I'm like, man. Like, shoot, it's in here. I look at the mail room in my building, it's kind of like they got a marked the package. Well, my package wasn't marked yet, so I'm going through every box, looking to see if I have my name on it. Mm-hmm. Looking for every box, because I know there's a lot of books. I'm like, man, it got to be a heavy box. So anyway, finally got upstairs, told my boy, hey, I'm going to record this while I open it. And so, you know, he recorded it for me. I opened it up, and, you know, seeing my first book, seeing my name on the front, just gave me chills. It kind of just, you know, it was one of the moments, it was probably about 3 moments behind my, you know, me having my first 2 kids moment type thing. It was just like, you know, it was just like holding in your hand, you're like, man, this is an accomplishment. You know, it's like, I wrote a book, you know.
Exactly.
And to be honest with you, truth be told, you're like, people who know me from, like, back in high school, I was always a class clown. So yeah, I wasn't a guy that was going to expect to write a book, you know, so many years later. You know, and so by me, like seeing this book and its accomplishment, it was right up there with me, you know, finishing my master's program or my kids or, you know, it was up there. You know, it gave me chills.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
I know exactly how you feel because my sister was with me and I cried in tears when I got my book. Ain't nothing like seeing your name on a book that you know you did. Ain't nothing like it. And like you said, you know, it can never top your kids, but it is that feeling. It feel like your book is your baby. And it finally came.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I know exactly what you
mean.
It does
something to your creative mind. Like, you mean, like, man, I created this, mm-hmm. you know, and it's something that the world can see now. You know, you
exactly.
left, I mentioned that you left a, you're leaving some type of legacy behind you. Like, man, you know, when, y'all remember that guy, Raheem? You know, he wrote a book.
Exactly.
You know, many years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. So, I have to ask you, because, you know, we like to let, you know, your audience know. Are you working on anything else? Do you have any plans that's coming up soon?
So, I decided, and like them, I'm going to hear it here first. You know, Rajin, a.k.a. we call the King or Old Man. There will be a second volume, Tacoma.
Oh, yeah.
And it's something I'm like, you know, it's going to be a second book. And it's going to be pretty much the coming the other way. So I left, and I'm like, I can't really, I got to wait for you to read the book. But I left the book open for a, you know, so he kind of went through a tunnel for another dimension. Mm. But I left that tunnel open.
Okay.
Yes,
I can tell you that.
We don't know yet.
We snapping for that.
Well, we don't know yet. We like to suspense. Yeah. Yeah, we don't know yet.
Okay. Yeah, so you heard it here first.
Yay!
So, yeah,
on Black Girls
Inc. It's going to be another book. As a matter of fact, I don't think I told anybody. So,
oh, wow.
So, yeah. I am going to do a poetry book. That's something else I'm working on. I'm going to do a poetry book, and I'm going to do... So, and this is something we hadn't talked about, but I am going to do a book called... It's called Chronicles of Online Dating.
Mm.
And it's going to have, this is going to be a series of different online dating stories that people have encountered, like, you know, good stories and bad stories. Mm. You know, there's, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, the background that you have on online dating, but, you know, but the online dating world, it's going to be fun.
I've seen some successful ones.
And so, I have a bit of a sense of humor, so I'm going to, you know, it's going to have some funny parts, it's going to have some happy other actors in it. It's going to be pretty cool. It's not going to be my story. I mean, I'll probably have some stories in there, but I'm doing research and I'm talking to friends and family and who I'd like to talk to about their experiences for online dating.
Okay.
So,
all right, well, you can put me on the list. I'll give you a story. I got one too.
Okay, well, definitely will reach out. And it's cool because people think that all online dating is bad, but like I said, I met my woman online, couple of my friends met their wives online, so it's not always a bad situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a bad situation. Sometimes it can be good.
Hey.
Sometimes it can be fun.
Yeah, I'm trying to get somebody to do online dating. I ain't saying no names, but you know I'm trying. I'm trying.
It's gotta be entertaining. It can be very entertaining.
What? I want to step daddies. I like messing with my mom. It's so uncomfortable.
Give me some big shoes to fill. I'm gonna tell you right now.
All right. Well.
Yeah.
You better be filling some big shoes too.
It can be entertaining. But so the book, if you wait for the book, the book's going to have pointers in it.
Here you go.
Do's and don'ts for online dating. It's going to have, you know, all kinds of pet peeves and type of stuff. It's going to be like a map to online dating, but it's going to be funny. It's going to make you laugh. It's going to make you cry. It's going to have some stuff in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like he got another spin of romance. It's like a comedy romance, a mystery romance, all that all in one.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to be supporting you on that.
Some really great stuff. Well, I appreciate it, definitely, because he gave me the title, and I got to live up to it. I'm telling you, I made my life a little harder, because with the title, Chicken Romance, now my woman's going to be making me live up to
it. You got it. Your daddy taught you, didn't you?
You got it. Your daddy taught you. Okay, you did. That's right. You was taught by a good role model.
There you go.
And tell her you just got the title, so you still fitting into the title. Give you some time.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. I'm definitely going to live up to my expectations. So
yeah. But I already see, from what I see, because like I said, I do my homework, people are already enjoying your book. So.
Yeah, I know. I've actually got some really good feedback. I mean, everybody's saying that this is a movie. This is a movie. It's just like, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I get, everybody can say, man, this got to be a movie. Like, I don't have millions of dollars to make a movie, but I know some people that do. So, like I said, if Oprah and Tyler Perry, anybody see this, hey.
Right?
Hit me up. I'm definitely all there for it.
Exactly. And if you need an actor, I'm here for you.
Hey, I'm definitely going to. Hey, you want to do something about the cameos?
Uh-huh.
So.
Right? So, we're about to do something on our show.
Unfortunately,
that,
our services are not free.
Look at
acting
you.
Services are not free.
She said her acting services is not free.
Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah.
So we're going to need some dinner or something. We're going to need some dinner or something for the work.
We're talking Tyler Perry. We're talking about a house.
Oh, yeah. Tyler Perry.
Yeah, Tyler Perry. I know you think it's too small.
All right. Now, on our show, we love to do a thing that we call tea time.
All right.
Now, tea ready? Time. Is when we make a topic from the author's book that we are interviewing, mm-hmm. whether it's the title, what it's about, a catchphrase they say in their book, or even off of their character. So you ready to do that with us, the king of romance? You ready to do tea time?
Yeah. All right, let's do it. All right.
Okay.
I'm all in.
We base our question off of what his theme is mostly off of. So our question for today is, if you had a chance for a do-over, what would it be? If you had a chance for a do-over, mm-hmm. what would it be? Go ahead, Sugar Mama, because I know you want to go first.
She says that every time, right?
Because you do.
I might have not wanted to, but I got my answer. I would say is when I was in high school, I got pregnant with my oldest daughter. And when that happened, me and my mother's relationship was broken. It was probably working for maybe a year or 2 years, and I probably would not have done that. I would have come together sooner. And then I wish I wouldn't have wasted that time. She can't get that time back. It's gone. And she's gone.
Okay, that was a good one. Okay. Short, sweet, and powerful. Did you want to go next, King of Romance, or you want me to go?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Mine's is funny, but it's true.
Okay.
If I could have a chance to go back mm-hmm. and do it all over again, first, I would wait before I had my first child. Because let me make something clear, because I wouldn't regret having any of my kids. But I'm just saying in the order I did things, because me and my fiance was love at first sight type of thing. We moved fast. So it was like, we fell in love, we got engaged, we had a baby not long after that, with all in a year, okay? This all happened within a year. And then after we had her, she was seven months old, mm-hmm. and we got pregnant with baby number two. So if I had a do-over, I would have made more alone time for me and him first, before we had children. Okay, because I didn't know it was going to take up so much of my time. And you moms know what I mean. I mean, I can't even go to the bathroom. Hmm. I would appreciate it going to the bathroom more.
With the kids
being so close in age, I would have made sure there was a bigger gap. Because my plan was not to have a second one until my daughter was in kindergarten. Now they're both in kindergarten together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It was a lot of work with the diapers. When one was getting out of diapers, the other one was moving the pull-up. When one stopped teething, the other one just started teething.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a roller coaster.
Yes, it was. One in my room, one in the other room.
Yes. Wow. And then when they wasn't napping at the same time, I lost sleep ever since then. There was no more sleep. So that's what I would make a do-over on, but I wouldn't change them too for the world. Them is my heart. I love them. And you know what? God had his plan, so they was meant to be close in age because they're best friends. So I'm going to just leave it at that. But Lord, if you give me a do-over, I am going to change that.
let me tell you something real quick.
I'll give you a do-over.
Yes. So, go ahead, it's your turn. What would you do?
I agree with the, the God has a plan. And, I talk about this a lot. And I kind of feel like everything happens for a reason. But if I had a chance, I've traveled to probably about 20 different countries and around the world and did different things or whatever. But, like I said, I love my kids, like I said, more than anything. And, for me, if I could do it over, instead of being overseas in different countries, blah blah blah, yeah. I would have spent more time with them growing up. Mm-hmm. I missed a lot of my daughters, coming up. She, I missed her first steps. Her first time, first words. And I was there, at different times. But like I said, it is my son. My son lives in Oklahoma, and my daughter lives in Germany. So, and then, when they're together, they love each other to death. Mm-hmm. But it was always so hard to get them together because I was always somewhere in the world. I was in military, I worked for the government. So it was just, for me, if I could do it all over again, I would be closer to them and spend more time with them. So like I said, with this COVID, you realize that life is short.
Yes, it is.
And people have lost their parents, people have lost kids, so, and they're great kids. And like I said, I can't get that time back when they were younger,
right.
But I can spend more time with them now. But like I said, if I could go back and do it all again, I would definitely spend more time. My son, when he's around, he's like my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
We laugh, we joke, and we went through a hard time, though. Like, granted, one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, I have college degrees, I've been to war, all kind of stuff. The hardest thing I've ever done was raise a teenage boy.
Mm.
I tell you that all the time, but I mean it. It's like, I can tell you, it's the hardest thing I've ever done was raise a teenage boy, because you want to raise a mark. But, like I said, if I could do it all again, I would spend more time with my kids and, just kind of form a stronger bond than we have now. Because we have a bond now, but it's because we're so far apart. But, being closer and, watching different things. Like, my daughter just had her first heartbreak, probably about a couple months ago. And I wasn't there for that. She's 18, she got her heart broken, and, as a man, you don't want anybody to break your daughter's heart.
Right.
And that's what the fuck y'all now, so y'all know. I don't know what
y'all so, you just put it out there, right? So,
yeah, put it out there. If you hear this, let us know that, but anyway, I'm just like, if I could go back, I have to do it again. That would be my, go back and spend more time with them.
That's
and
good.
Show them that, cause, being overseas, being away, I'm pretty sure at some point in time they thought that, hey, my dad's not around. And although I was always in the touch, I was never dead. Dad, I was always in life, but I wasn't always physically dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. I know what you mean. That was a good choice.
That was
a good one. I felt that. And you know what? You and my mom keep making me nervous. You said the hardest thing you ever did was raise a teenage boy.
And I said the
boy.
Hardest thing was to raise a strong-willed daughter.
I know. Hers is the hardest thing is to raise two teenage daughters. I'm like, goodness.
I said strong-willed daughters.
Strong-willed.
You gotta teach them when to talk, when not to talk. When to do your thing, not to do your thing.
Y'all's making me nervous. I'm not even there yet, and I feel like it's a horror movie.
Okay, yeah, let me tell you what I'm doing.
One of the things to wear. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let me tell you this. I'm saying this because Barbie's a sweetheart. And this is, but at the same time, you gotta be careful. Because Barbie was downtown. I'm telling you this. It's a short story. She was downtown with her friend. They was coming out of school. Somebody came up to her and said, you got some change. It's like, get something to eat, right? And she gave it to the reach in her pocket, gave him the change, right? Now I know everybody's saying, oh, good for her. No. Because she gave him a bus fare.
I walked home.
She gave him a bus fare.
Oh,
so no. That wasn't good.
Man, yeah, she was hard. Wow.
Yeah, that's what my mom said.
You didn't even think about it. You gave him a bus fare. No. It wasn't good. So no.
But she needed something to eat.
And then, hold on. And then there was another one. This one, I was like, girl, come on now. Barbie's the type of friend that if you call her, she's gonna come, right? Now, this is what happened. We was in the house, just me and Barbie. She's talking to her friend on the phone. And then all of a sudden, she's ready to go out the door. I'm like, Where are you going to 7
years,
night?
Nighttime.
Where you going to 7 night?
Was wrapped up.
She's like, my friends on the bus, she said these girls on the bus, they're trying to jump her on the bus. And I said, well, what you going to do?
She's about to
get the bus right here. And then I said, hold up. Your friends on the bus with a gang of girls, they about to jump her, and she about to get out from running your house. You gonna come outside, you ain't gonna say nothing to me. I'm in the house, not even knowing that something about to go down outside.
I said, girl, if you going outside,
I'm coming outside too. She's like, how you gonna come outside without telling nobody it's about to happen? I'm sitting there on my computer. If I wanna say, where you going, you wouldn't even say it. Then I said, okay, I get with you with your friends and all that. But I'm saying, she called you to come outside. You can get your behind whooped. No. You don't know what's going on. It be 20 girls on that bus.
My
20
mom,
girls on that bus.
She
20
that's
girls on that bus. She don't know who's on that bus.
But
that's a mama talking right there. Take a breath. Say, wait a minute. Let me think this over for a minute. Maybe that might not be the best thing to do.
Yeah, but I was gangster then.
I could have been hard people frightened outside. I wouldn't even have looked. Because I'd be like, anybody out there I need to see.
She didn't know that side of me. She didn't know that side of me. All she seen me as is her, you know, sweet Barbie and all that. But she didn't know I was gangster and I was that friend, ride or die, okay? Like I said before, I kicked the door down for my friend.
I knew.
I ain't playing.
We know who you are.
So as long as you remember that when your children get that age,
yeah, they
gonna have a ride or die moment too, and you got to deal with it.
Oh,
so,
Lordy.
Yeah, thank you. Well, the brownie point number two.
Oh, my goodness.
Now you get to number five, that's a star now.
When
star.
He said that, it stunned me too. I felt that in my soul.
Yeah.
Snaps for you.
Yep.
Snaps for you right there.
Well,
it always comes back around.
Right? Can you let everyone know where they can go and purchase your book, Coma? Because they need to catch up before that second part come out. Let them know they can purchase your book and find
So Coma, on Amazon, of course, you can get the hard for the paperback on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get your download on your Kindle, of course. It's on BarnesandNoble.com, or you can download to your Nook. It's on Apple Books. You can actually reach out to me at the author on Instagram, and at Rajin H on Twitter. If you want a thriller romance, this is where you need to get it. This is a heart catcher. I had somebody tell me the other day that they were kind of torn between one woman and the other woman, and that's how I wrote it. So you can be torn between, you know, him leaving this woman or him going back to his wife. So definitely go on Amazon, like I said, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and Apple Books, and check it out. Definitely.
That's what's up.
You done heard it from the romance king,
yes,
y'all.
You did. And you know what this means now that you did the interview, right?
What's that mean?
No, you gotta tell them.
It means that you are now a member of the Black Girls Inc. family. Snacks.
All right.
Yes.
I'm very honored.
And I also have another announcement. I didn't tell them over the messages, but I let them know that soon Black Girls Inc., you already know we're coming to YouTube. But as of today, Rajim is our first member for our Super Black Men Writing Saturday.
So he's going to be an official member.
This will not be the only time you see him. We're making up a group where men will come once a week. Well, not once a week, once a month on a Saturday. And they will talk with each other about being writers and about their books. And we'll just have topics and stuff and all that. But basically, just so y'all can get to know them more as Black male writers.
Mm-hmm.
And he is our first member.
I'm super excited.
Yes, we are too.
Yes.
We are too.
Man, I can't wait. Definitely can't wait.
Me either. So, everyone.
Valentine's Day is coming up, so maybe I can pull some of these guys and get them on the right track.
Yes, you definitely want to have y'all do it.
Show them what they can do.
So start writing them tips now, because I'm going to make my husband watch that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do that.
Remember that Black Girls Inc. will be officially coming to YouTube on October 19th. Mm. Again, Black Girls Inc. will be coming to YouTube on October 19th. and we'll still be on the podcast too. So I'm your girl, Sister Goose.
And I am Sugar Mama.
Remember to get your copy of Coma. Mm-hmm. And we are Black Girls Inc. Snap you later.